Welcome to Property Uncover Show. This is Sanjeev Shah, your host. At Property Uncover Show, I have the privilege to interview real Australian investors who share their wisdom by uncovering their property journey, mindset, who they are, when and what made them inspired, what are they doing differently, which helps them act and make a difference to their own and loved one's life. Let's get into this episode so we all can learn from our guests' success and most importantly their mistakes so we avoid repeating them. Hi everyone, Sanjeev here. For investors, it's not only important to find a property, so equally important to have a great property management team on your side who can look after your asset. Today, I have the privilege to interview one of the top business development managers from Harcourt Mandurah region in Perth, who specializes in property management and responsible to grow their rent roll. Now, so in case you're interested in learning about the good and bad of property management side of things and how to choose the best property manager on your side, tune into this episode. Welcome, Sam. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Sam.
Good. So good to have you on the show. And thanks for joining me today, Sam.
It's okay.
So how are things happening in Perth? You guys are rocking quite hot. Not weather-wise, property market as well.
No, we're still really, really busy, so which is great.
Awesome. So tell me like a little about your, I know you come from Harcourt. You have been from last, I think, 10 years plus there, right? In the Harcourt itself. So tell me, because your office is quite a big team, so a little about your Harcourt team and the size of it.
Yeah, so we opened 14 years ago. So we had a smaller office just down the road, much smaller team. And then we've grown to where we are today, where we have 24 reps and 6 property managers, and then an amazing support team, reception and admin. So yeah, and the new premises is fantastic. So we're a lot more centrally located, making it easier. Yeah, because the office that we had originally was a lot smaller. So yeah, we've kind of really grown into the building now. So yeah.
Okay, no, it's a big team. I think around 35 people, right? So that's massive.
Yeah, huge.
Awesome. And I think for people who don't know, Mandurah is on the south side of Perth, around 60 kilometer roughly from Perth CBD. So Sam, so how did you get into the property side? I know you're doing really awesome job, great, you know, growing the rent roll, and you guys deliver good service on the property management side, which we're going to talk about. But how did you started in this property management side, the real estate? How did you got into this industry?
Yeah, I've emigrated from the UK and was looking for a complete change of role. I've always worked within customer service, so I love working with people. So I looked for something that was slightly different, and then just an opportunity came to be an assistant in this office. And yeah, I jumped on board. I was an assistant here for about 6 months before I got my license and stepped into the role as a property manager. And then I was in that role then for nearly 7 years, managing just over 100 properties. And then in 2018, I stepped into the role as business development manager. And then, yeah, and it's been all guns blazing since then.
No wonder you're doing so well, because, you know, it's not like you just came as a manager and say, oh, I'm going to increase the rent roll. You know how it is from, you know, step one, from the, you know, as an assistant to like, you know, managing property. Did you say 7 years you're working as a property manager?
Yeah.
So you pretty much know everything, and that's where we're going to learn a lot about those roles. So, okay. And then now you've been the last 5 years as a BDM and you're growing the rent roll. And so what is your, like, as a BDM for people who may not understand, as a business development manager on the property manager, what's your key role, like, not generally?
It's to onboard new business. So to guide people through from really sort of them placing an offer on a property to assisting them so that they're fully aware moving forward as to what their obligations are, and obviously to ensure that we get the best possible return and have their property, you know, in the best condition possible to secure the best tenant.
Okay. Once the people have signed up with you guys on the property management side of things, correct? And then looking after them from pretty much end to end and making sure that they're getting the current market rent, right tenants and everything. Okay. And then once they've signed up, everything is done, then you generally pass it over to the property manager. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. So I normally check the electrical, plumbing and gas to ensure that's all ready for settlement, and then progress through to settlement. And then it's kind of handed over then to the property manager, who then ensures moving as we kind of guide through to securing a tenant.
Okay, so they do the open home, the inspections, whatever, they go through the application, whatever would have come, right? So how big, like you mentioned, you have a team of 6 people under the property management side of thing. So what they do and how it is all structured within your organization?
Okay, so through tried and tested practices, we've decided that the best way forward for our office is to have, you know, for you to champion a role. So the onboarding, as I said, is myself. Then your leasing, so the securing of a tenant is with Stacey, our leasing manager. And then the management of the property is with your property manager. Now, we just feel that, you know, there's nothing worse really for an owner than, you know, if they're trying to get hold of their property manager, that they're out either showing homes or they're out trying to secure business. So, you know, your property manager is doing exactly what they're meant to be doing, which is managing your property. So, you know, if they are out of the office, they're completing inspections or property condition reports, those sorts of things, or final inspections. So it's just maintaining that where, you know, you have that role down pat and you kind of basically become like a superstar of that particular role. So you're not trying to learn multiple roles.
So while you're managing, but then when the property is vacant or something, then your inspection manager will come into the picture, who are going, showing to the property, to the potential tenant or someone. Is that right?
Correct, yes. So we have a leasing manager. So their sole role is to, yes, secure a tenant. They also do the application process and then present that information then to the owner for them to be able to choose who suitable applicant is for that home.
Okay. And that's where, so now we have a team of 6. And roughly how many properties you guys will manage between 6 of the team?
Yeah, so they're sitting around 120 properties each. So as I mentioned, so there's 6 property managers, a leasing manager, and an administration person as well. So yeah, we have strong backup support.
Yeah, and plus you're there, of course, even you're bringing the new role, I think, but then you're, you know, it's still responsible to make sure the clients is onboarded, the property is leased for the first time, right? And then, you know, and then you're given handover to property manager. So actually 6, 7, 8 people, right? So it's quite 120. I think that's a good number to play with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think sometimes if you go above that, then that attention to detail and the communication is lost. So that's the right number before problems start, because it's so easy for property managers to be, you know, I've heard of property managers that are running with sort of over 200 properties. That's certainly something that we would never do, simply because, yeah, the utmost priority for us is to deliver good customer service. And you start getting up there on numbers, that's when your attention to detail and customer service levels drop.
I'm like hearing, you know, property management side is not the easiest thing, definitely, in the property world. It's a lot of phone calls, a lot of work, right? So now and of course, there is a pressure from the business that, hey, we need to grow the rent roll, keep the cost down, a lot of compliances, everything is coming up, right? Which you have to go through it. So how, like, at what point you'll say, okay, now everything, as I know, you're getting a lot of businesses from other property managers and other companies, because you guys are definitely doing a very good job, right? And as you can see, for our clients, even my property. So where, at what point you will say, you know, now we need to hire a person, because it's, you know, there's a cost also involved, right? So first you get enough clients, rent roll, then you hire someone, or it's, how's been the approach with your client? Like, at what point you will say, you know, now you need a 7th person?
Yeah, it normally reaches, I mean, obviously that's business decision, but it's kind of, they have set numbers that each of the property managers would be at. Then I think the business would rather bring somebody on and them grow rather than sort of for everybody around them to be sinking. Do you know what I mean? Is that the directors are very proactive. We've introduced some structures where we've had virtual assistants. So just at the very start of that, so that's been a huge help for us with the administration side of things. But you still need that sort of point-to-point contact. You know, it's one thing to sort of offboard administration, but it's another, that's what I say, is that our property managers do everything, you know, that they do everything from end to end. So that it's always, there's never that kind of third party going in and where the communications and things are lost. So, yeah, like I said, that directors are more about sort of working to ensure that we are not overworked and under pressure. So it would definitely be implemented sooner rather than later.
So all the condition report, ingoing report, whatever, it's all in-house, going through them, correct? Not using a third party. So I think the people who are listening, I think probably you might not know, but like in property management side, a lot of things are getting outsourced because it is a tough business. It's not easy, especially the customer service. And so a lot of people use outsourcing. I know Sam just mentioned about, you know, using a virtual assistant for some of their tasks, right? So a lot of people have started using heavily, relying on the virtual assistant. So again, it's good for the business. They're keeping the cost down. But then as the investor, we don't get a good service because then no. And that's where I've seen, because, you know, fortunately, as a buyer agent, we buy all across Australia. And we work with top managing agent, but like, you know, when we work with you, Sam, with the hardcore team, it's next level. And that I can feel, which is, you know, and that's where this kind of thing is very important, that you have a local team, they are onto it. And, you know, they are like proactive team, not reactive team. And that is also come because, as you said, the number 120 per property manager, that's a good number. I think a healthy number, I would say, based on my experience. And that's where they can deliver the quality. Otherwise, no, things are all over the place. And it's important. So now, what are the key three things you'll say, Sam, like which you'd say is helping or helping you to thrive in this role as a BDM, right? Because you're the front end when new clients are coming up, when new properties are coming on and onboarded, right? So what are the three key things you'd say?
So, I mean, mainly it's listening to what the client wants. I think that's a huge one because it's so easy for us to forget that we're actually working for the client and not in the tenant's, you know, it's not always in the tenant's best interests. It's you're working for the client and delivering the service that they want. So that one of the main things I always find out is exactly what they want from their property management. You know, something as simple as somebody may not appreciate calls, may prefer everything on email, something as simple as that, but it means a lot to them, you know, if they're busy at work, etc. So that's a huge one. So definitely communication, just making sure that they always know what's happening. And then just, yeah, I believe in the team. And that's, you know, that's really important. If, you know, it makes my job so much easier to go out and sell something that I believe in the team. I know that they do such an amazing job. The awards that they get, a testament to that. So yeah, definitely that makes my job really easy.
Yeah, because yeah, it's all about communication in your game, right? Like understanding and then passing the same information to your property managers, because then eventually they're going to manage the client and listen to them and work with them. And it's a long-term journey. It's not like, you know, buying and selling happens within a month, right? Or 2 months, but property has to be managed. And then different things happens to the property, weather events, you know, tenant have some issues sometime, you know, and it goes through a lot of cycles, right? So okay, makes sense. Now, Sam, like for people who are, you know, as an investor listening to our conversation, what are some of the, and they're looking in the market for a good property management team, right? Or a property manager, whatever they go to. Now, what some of the do's or don'ts you would recommend them, like when they are choosing a property manager for their property?
Do your research. Always do your research, because it's very easy for people to base their property manager on their fees. And sometimes it's just the difference of a cup of coffee, but they will opt for cheaper fees. And you should always do your research, because that will definitely guide you as to other people's experiences. Look at sort of, you know, ask the questions, what's your staff retention like? Is it, you know, do you have a high turnover of staff? Because one of the main things that I come against is that a lot of people, they build a relationship with somebody and then that person leaves and then the next person, and information doesn't get passed on. Obviously, you can't ever force somebody to stay in a role, but sort of having structures in place to cover for if that person leaves, you know, what is the business doing to make sure that client, all that information is passed across to the next person? So that client doesn't feel a drop in service or really feel any change. They should just, it should be just a different point of contact, no change at all. So it's having, so having definite structures to back up, you know, notes and etc. in the system, and then really having a connection, definitely, you know, having a connection. So if you can speak to them, got to have some form of trust. And if you don't trust the person that's looking after your property because you're not necessarily local, So it's an immense amount of trust that you're leaving with that person to look after your investment. Definitely, you know, trust the person that you're dealing with.
So now, thank you, Sam. Now, say where you said about the research, right? Now, people might say, okay, now tell me, because when I'm a client to someone, everyone's talking good. They're saying, okay, we have all the system and procedure in place, but what does it mean? Can you go a little bit on the backside of the property management? What do you mean by research? What things, because I can ask, hey, what is your retention rate? But they might not tell me because they might have people leaving every 6 months, but they might say, oh, we have people leaving from last whatever, right? Because they're looking for my business. So they can lie also, right? So, but I mean, so you don't expect that, but what control I have? Because, you know, say, for example, I live in Sydney or Melbourne, doesn't matter, and I'm buying in Queensland or, for example, then what can I do? Like, there's any, like, should I look for the Google review or the team structure or what sort of questions which they have to tell me the truth, and that is enough which says, okay.
Yeah, as you said, you may not always get the truth, but definitely Google reviews is a good one. You know, I mean, no, unfortunately, for us, the sales reps, they get an opportunity to do, you know, rate my agent, which would be fantastic for property managers because then you would definitely be able to see who's the best of the best. But definitely, I mean, it's, I think also with working with larger brands, so say, for instance, for our office, being under the banner of Harcourts, is that, you know, you've got unlimited training, opportunities, assistance, you know, all those things there that you may not have with a smaller office. But it's a tough one because, I mean, it's, like I said, it's mainly about that connection.
I think it's all about, like, you know, having a good team structure as well in place so that you can, one, can follow because, you know, it's life. People fall sick. People go on holidays, right? So if you don't have enough buffer as a resources, then how are you going to make it work?
100%. I mean, we have, you know, you're always going to have potentially people off sick, you know, holidays, like you said. We have what runs as a buddy system so that, you know, another property manager oversees. And because our systems and procedures are all the same right the way through the property managers, is that then what they can do is you're only changing a seat. The system runs exactly the same. You're just dealing with different people. So, and like I said, notes in a system is key to everything. Just that communication left, what's happening, where this is at. It's just all there for another person to just sit into that role and be able to have all the information.
And would you say like a number of years of experience or how many properties they are managing per team member, those things will be important? Definitely the number of properties they are managing is important, but what would be the threshold you say per property manager? How many properties is a good number?
I wouldn't think, yeah. I mean, like I said, we have a system in place where we don't like to go up too high. I would have thought really 140 would be an absolute max, but that would be with VA system set up, you know, the kind of paperwork side of things being dealt with to then free up. Because like I said, is that once you start moving up in properties, is that then that touch point, those phone calls, those emails, that they're then being responded to slower because you're managing more volume. So it's definitely, yeah, 140 would be with VA support.
And it's like, it is advisable that people using a property manager who have got a good team structure, as you said, like, you know, a buddy system, you know, so someone goes on leave or falls sick or anything, then they have a buddy to look after their property or those inquiries. And that's where the importance of good system and process come into the picture, having all the notes so that the owner of the property doesn't feel like he's talking to someone else, right? They don't know, the other person don't know where they're up to, right?
Yeah, that's it. Just going in blind and kind of, you know, it has to be that the notes are there so that they can follow on. And like I said, as if obviously there's a different person in the seat, but the continuation and level of service is exactly the same.
Now, what do you have to say about now the buyer agent industry? There's a lot of buyer agents. So how you feel on that side of thing?
It's made a huge difference to my job. Definitely, because obviously for me, I've suddenly been moved into a role where I'm assisting more in that process of buying. So potentially, you know, going through home opens and, you know, going through a property that's on the market, looking at things from a maintenance point of view and a property management view as to, you know, what would need to be done to bring that house up to scratch. But it's, yeah, I mean, for myself with you guys, it's been amazing because obviously your systems and structures are so plain sailing that it makes my job very easy. So, and because all that information is just smoothly transitioned across, whereas sometimes, yeah, it's a bit haphazard and they're kind of expecting a lot of myself, you know, with regards to, you know, looking at things structurally. And, you know, that's not something that I've ever had to do before. But it's definitely taken me on a role that's exciting and different.
Yeah, no, I can understand. Like suddenly, you know, if people, I mean, they bought a property and they'll say, oh, why didn't you talk to me about this structural damage or that damage? But hey, I'm your property manager there to manage and we'll do the routine inspection. I can highlight those things, but I can't tell you if it is a structural problem or it's a crack, right? I mean, so of course, you can help them, but yeah, again, you know, use the professionals to highlight that. And how you feel with working with work clients are going, which are educated investor, I would say, versus someone, you know, buying themselves. And, you know, have you seen some difference like between the quality of clients you're getting, you know, from a buyer agent versus someone non-buyer agent?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably get 4 or 5 calls a day from people that are trying to do this themselves. It's not a process that I would ever recommend that somebody does for themselves. Because, you know, the knowledge and expertise that you have compared to somebody that's, you know, trying to do so much from over there and you kind of placing so much trust. Because I know if I have a client that rings me that is doing it themselves, they want the property manager to go through to do the home open to look at it from the sales point of view. They want them to do, you know, look at structural maintenance, all those sort of things. There's also a relationship gap. That's what I say is with you guys, is that you have all that information, you have that expertise and knowledge behind you that just makes it just so much than going down the path of ever doing it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the point here is like, say, when things goes wrong, then it's very easy to pinpoint, right? And especially it's high risk when you don't know versus you know what's happening, correct? So I think, and that's where, you know, it can come on you guys like, hey, you didn't tell me this or that. But hey, you're buying the property, not me. I'm there to manage your property if you choose me to manage it, right? So, okay. Now, good that you're highlighting that. Now, how you feel about the current property market in your area, Mandurah, Sam? Like, do you see stocks or what's happening with the stock levels or any signs of slowing down or what's happening?
Yeah, it has slowed a little. So our vacancy rate was, I think January was sitting about 0.03%. And it's with the recent reworth statistics, they've said 0.45%. So it has such a different market to what we've ever experienced before, because obviously there is huge drives with migration and, you know, the skill shortage. You know, they're trying to pull people in from everywhere to kind of fill that gap. And so I don't foresee that it's going to move, you know, I think it's coming back down again. I really do, because it's only, building is taking such a long time. I mean, that's now really a 24-month process and there's no properties around. And, you know, I mean, like I said, we've got a huge sales team, but even those listings are dropping. So kind of, yeah, it's definitely a hard to secure a rental property, definitely. But yeah, and I can only see it, to be honest, getting worse. So yeah, I don't see it going the other way.
And what these people like who are renting right now in Mandurah area, what sort of people are like, they are even migrating from other states or those people, or what sort of people are there?
Yeah, a lot of it are migrating over from the UK, America. So we've seen a lot of people, as I said, you know, the rents here are high, but low compared to over east. So I think it's kind of seeing Perth as a place to kind of, you know, the cost of living is cheaper here. So it's, yeah, Perth has created a little haven for people to feel safe to migrate to. So yeah, like I said, the numbers that we're having go through, whilst they've dropped slightly, we're still having, you know, 10 plus applications on each property. It's still a really good time to invest. And I mean, they were saying that I think it was 300,000 people they want to migrate into Australia this year. That's huge. That's, you know, and they've all got to live somewhere. So it's, yeah, definitely a great time.
Like, so, no, I agree with you. I mean, so I have been so many times to Perth, right? Like, it's beautiful. You have an ocean lifestyle, coastal, right? Affordable and still like good infrastructure, beautiful houses and beautiful city actually to live and grow your family and even work, right? I mean, so work, there's plenty of work. So now, the people who are missing out, right, as you're saying, so what's happening with them? Like, where they're finding the place to rent, what's happening with them, because there's quite application I hear all the time. We had 10 applications and only, of course, you can rent to only one family. So what happens to the rest? What's happening? Are they moving out, or what are you seeing on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. And I feel for, you know, especially our leasing manager, Stacey, because obviously she's at the forefront of all of this. You know, when you can potentially have somebody that's, you know, really struggling, may potentially be homeless, living in their car, things like that. You know, at the forefront is that we tried to, as best we can, assist those that that have a proven track record, you know, that may potentially be our tenants already, to try to secure something, because we know, you know, that they pay the rent, that they keep the property well, that they, you know, they're great to deal with. That's, so we try to assist as much as we can in-house, but obviously also not deter somebody outside that may be even better. But it really is tough out there. It really is. And, you know, certainly, as I mentioned, I can't see things changing for any time soon.
Is there any government body which is helping these people, like, you know, rather than staying in the car or, you know, as you mentioned, is there some help or some government body there to do something about it? Or
yeah, I mean, there's certainly, you know, assistance out there if needed. But yeah, it's very hard because it's finding, you know, human as well, and we've got hearts, and it's hard to kind of switch off to what we're experiencing, to be honest, with the way that things are. I mean, it's, you know, we found not too long ago that a young family was living in their car, and we do a lot at Harcourts with a local community sort of that assists the homeless locally. And we try desperately, you know, to offer them support and offer assistance as best as we can. But yeah, it's kind of, it's hard because you're limited as to what you can do as a property manager.
And are there government bodies reaching out to you guys saying, hey, we're looking for more properties, can you help out? I know we'll pay the rent. I remember one property we bought for our client, you know, it was a government body and they were helping the tenants. They were neat and clean tenants. We never had a problem. Actually, they paid the rent for 1 year in advance, which was a very good outcome. So that kind of scenario happening where government is reaching out saying, hey, Sam, can I get a couple of your properties? Can you talk to your investor if they can give us those kind of scenario happening?
Yeah, we've had that quite a lot recently. So yeah, they're definitely trying to support, especially people with potentially disabilities, that those companies are reaching out, and there may be some minor modifications made to the home to assist them with day-to-day living. But yet they've paid 12 months rent in advance. Inspections that have been completed so far have been amazing. So it's definitely nice to be able to support government departments such as those.
People like you and me, it's just that it's the timing, right? And there's not enough stock, otherwise they would have got the property on rent anyways. So now what's some of the tips you'll be giving to people who are struggling to get a property so that, no, maybe they have a chance to secure it? So any tips for people struggling?
Definitely be prepared. So most companies now are having their applications online. So having that, you know, application fully completed, because so many times we see the applications come in and they're not, and then we're having to chase them for further details. And then suddenly somebody will come in with a fully completed application and it kind of sails past those that have not completed it. So definitely ensuring that all your paperwork is completed and just putting your best foot forward. You know, like I said, is that we present all applications, so we can't, every application that comes in that's fully completed, we present to the owner. We never choose. It is always on the owner, you know, on the owner's choice. So, but definitely having that, all your information there. If you've not rented before, put a little letter in there and explain why you've never rented before. You've been a homeowner or you've just moved out. Give the owner something that, you know, that they can feel a connection with you rather than just looking at an application.
Especially when there are 10 applications to choose from. If you're not putting enough information, then definitely by default, you are, it's more of a rejection game. So it's easy to reject and then, okay, you know. So put the information. What happens, like, say, if they have not provided enough information, then still you'll present to the owner of the property?
We push and push to get all the information because obviously we need to do our thorough checks to make sure that, you know, everything checks out. We would still make an owner aware, but of course we would also state that, look, we do not have all the information. You know, you may not have payslip, and we want to ensure that it's fully completed, that the owner has all the information so that they can make an informed choice.
And especially in a market like this, right? Even your property manager is not going to chase you that, hey, you're missing information, can you provide that? I mean, it's, you know, already gone, right? Any last words for, you know, investors who are looking for a property manager in your area, what final words for them?
Yeah, just as I said, it's all about your research. Look out there, check your Google reviews. Even I've had some owners that have said that they've jumped onto local Facebook pages and sort of put the question out there, you know, who's a good property manager in that particular area? And you'll be surprised, people are very open to giving you the good and the bad. And then you can kind of take that knowledge then and from somebody else's experience. I mean, I had a gentleman ring me yesterday and he said that one of his fellow workers was a tenant with us. And he said, I've called you as an owner because the tenant said he had such a tough time, you know, for his inspections. And, you know, that we were always expecting so much from him. And it was like, he said, that's the sort of property manager I want. He wanted somebody that was working for his best interest to look after his investment. So yeah, there's plenty of knowledge out there. If you just reach out, like I said, on those Facebook pages, you know, jump onto the Mandra groups and they'll be happy to help.
Yeah, exactly. Now, and you're hearing from the locals and then know, and then you can find out one or two people, go talk to them. And if you have the connection, then maybe talk about the fees and charges and know. Because this is a lot of people I know, they start with, hey, how much you guys charge? It is a question required to be answered, but it's not the first question, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Because sometimes, I mean, in my role, I see so many times where it backfires on people that they've gone with somebody that's cheaper fees. And what that could potentially mean is that you have a property manager, because a business still has to create an income, that property manager is overworked. So then, you know, that's when the ball starts being dropped and things start happening. And suddenly, you know, it could well be that you haven't had an inspection when it should have happened. And then the property's then, you know, got out of hand and it's, you know, all your, the rent's not being checked regularly and things like that. It can so very quickly change. I mean, our office, so they're sourcing statistics all the time. So we have in-house competitions and to see who's got the best statistics and the lowest rent arrears and invoice arrears, and even down to maintenance requests being outstanding. It makes it fun. We've got one particular property manager, James, that is so, so statistic driven that he's checking on the board all the time to see exactly where he's positioned.
He's my property manager. So now I think now it's a lot of nuggets. I think, Sam, I think, yeah, look for the locals, talk to them, you know, through Facebook page. There's so many forums, right? Check them. And yeah, I think you mentioned about the team structure. I think, again, going with a good brand, good team structure, because you guys invest on training, good system and process, right? So again, understanding those things are key before you can say, okay, I'll go with this property manager. Because I think if someone does hard work on the upfront, then the journey is smooth, right? Because then you can just set and forget about the property because it's now taken care. Otherwise, it's a bit of always hiccups, this and that. And the point you're raising, you know, if property is not looked after, they are bombarded with a lot of property. That's very common in the industry, actually. And you know better than me, but I'm just highlighting that it's not many property managers are really good with, you know, good structure and everything. So it's very crucial that investors find a good one for themselves and work with them.
Yeah. I mean, maybe even asking, you know, whoever it is that you're talking to, just say to them, you know, do you have a client's number that I could call and speak to them with regards to their experience? Because they'll be able to, for myself, you know, I have a few owners that I can, hands down, that they're happy to recommend our services and that I can pass on their details. And they don't mind taking the call because if you've had a good experience, why not share that?
Yeah, and generally, when you have a good experience, people are more than happy to support that journey because, you know, but if you don't Google a service, like, fuck it, I'm not talking. I mean, it's too. So that's a good point, actually. So because like as a buyer agent, also when we go to a new area, like then we spend a lot of time doing the due diligence, talking. I mean, with us, it's a good thing is like, now we can go and meet people and talk, engage, right? And with our contacts, but for an investor who's not traveling everywhere, you know, they're just buying themselves, then it's important that they do this, what is the steps you just mentioned. So yeah, thank you so much, Sam. I think it was a great chat. Now, final thing, if someone has to reach out to you to talk to you for their property management or anything, what is the best way people can reach out directly to you, Sam?
And they can give me a call at the office, definitely, or drop an email as easy as for the clients. So I'm always happy to help.
Yeah, awesome. Now, I think we'll have all your details, you know, somewhere in with this video and the audio who is listening to this podcast. So thanks again, Sam, and you have an awesome day.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hope you enjoyed and learn something new from this episode. Please don't forget to review our podcast and tune in every Tuesday 8 a.m. Sydney time to listen to all our inspirational guests and learn from their property journey. In case you're looking for help with your property investment journey or building a property portfolio, please visit our website, investorsdream.com.au to learn more about us and our services. And feel free to book a call from our website for a friendly chat. Have an awesome life and happy property investing.